All right. Well, good to see you all this morning. Glad that you're able to make it out to the Generation Youth Summit. And we're going to be speaking on an interesting subject this morning. The title of this workshop is Wildfire. Wildfire. Anyone here like fire at all? You're a pyromaniac? You like fire. As a young boy, I liked fire a lot. I always loved to watch it burn, whether it was inside, even down to a small candle. I remember watching those candles burning and trying different experiments with different candles, dumping them together and all sorts of little things. I always love watching a fire burn inside a fireplace or a wood-burning stove. And of course, outside, you can get even bigger fires out there. And I remember one time as a little kid, I was playing outside. I think my mom was preparing lunch. And we had our lights outside, our outdoor lights in front of the garage, didn't really work, and we hadn't actually put light bulbs in them for a while. They kind of were there, and in the course of time, one of the glass panels had fallen out and was broken, and so a bird came in, and even built a nest there, laid some eggs and some little, robin birdies hatched, all right? I remember one morning I was out there playing around 11:30 or so, and I smelled something burning, and I thought it was maybe the neighbor burning, you know, having a barrel fire with leaves or something like that. So I ran towards the direction of the smell, that I was smelling that burning smell, and came around. I was in the back of the house, came around to the front, and what I saw was not the neighbor outside burning his leaves or having a barrel burn, but rather that little nest with the little birdies inside on fire and smoke coming out, billowing out. Oh, that's interesting. You know, I probably should tell my mom. So the front door was locked. I had gone through the back door. So I ran around the house again to the back door. My mom's inside the kitchen preparing lunch. Like, Mom, I want to show you something. My mom's like, no, honey, I'm busy right now. I'm making lunch. I'll come in just a little bit. I'm like, no, Mom, you need to come right now. I really want to show you this. I didn't want to tell her what it was. I thought it'd be a cool surprise. So I remember that. I realized, you know what, this is pointless. It's not going to work unless I just tell my mom one word, fire. And as soon as I said the word fire, I had my mom's complete attention. She was with me. We went around the house. Sure enough, there it is. She calls my dad right away. I remember getting little pitchers of water to try to throw up at the, I was only like 6 years old maybe, to throw up at the flames there. Thankfully, we got the fire put out before any damage was done other than just some dark stains to the siding of the house there, but it wasn't too much. We were able to take care of that. Unfortunately, none of the birdies were able to make it through the incident, and they all died. And no, we didn't have cooked bird for lunch. We didn't add those to our sandwiches or anything. They were quite fried. So it was a sad thing for them. We lost the little birdies. But I'll never forget that, and just seeing the fire there. I wasn't so concerned about the house, though I was worried. I do remember that. But it was more just, wow, look at this fire. I just thought that was really cool. So yeah, some of us can relate with that. I have a story here that happened just last year. The 15-year-old boy entered the courtroom stoically on Friday. Wearing a beige suit, a black necktie, and with his hair neatly combed, he admitted to all 12 of the misdemeanor charges against him. And when he spoke to the courtroom, he apologized 7 times. The wildfire he admitted to sparking along the Eagle Creek Trail in the heart of the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area, which is beautiful, I've been there, started on September 2, 2017, when he hurled a firecracker into a dry ravine as a group of friends filmed him with a cell phone. On that scorching hot afternoon, the state was in the midst of a burn ban. So here was a kid out with his friends. I don't know if they were hiking or actually camping, but they were out here in this beautiful state park area, and there was a burn ban. You weren't allowed to burn anything, and he thought it'd be cool over this ravine to light off some fireworks and have his friends film him doing it. Well, unfortunately, it started a major fire. He said there to the courtroom, "Every day, I think about this terrible decision and its awful consequences," he said. "I know I will have to live with my bad decision for the rest of my life." He was placed on probation for 5 years and is required to complete 1,920 hours of community service. under the direction of the U.S. Forest Service, with possible financial restitution still hanging in the balance. As the fire turned the skies and lush green hillsides along the state's northernmost edge red, it forced towns to evacuate and threatened infrastructure as winds pushed it toward the boundaries of the Portland, Oregon metro area. Eventually, it hopped across the wide waters of the Columbia River into the forested southern part of Washington State, which, by the way, when it's saying the wide waters of the Columbia River, that's very true. Anyone been to the, well, you all who've been to Camp Wyalusing, you remember seeing the Mississippi River, right? Imagine if a fire leaped from, you know, the side where Wyalusing is across, either way. Imagine if a fire leaped across the river, wouldn't that be pretty crazy? Well, that's close to the width of the Columbia River at this point. Isn't that crazy? So you imagine how hot that fire was, and then the winds, sending the ashes and the heat and sparks across the river, lighting up on the other side. Of course, having dryness helps, but even this area by the Columbia River, even if it wasn't raining much, would still have more moisture being such a big river right there. So it's pretty amazing, the scope of the fire. You can just imagine a fire going from one side of the Mississippi to the other, even at the point there where we go camping. That'd be pretty crazy. And if any of you else have seen the Mississippi River anywhere else, I think you probably get the idea. So eventually it hopped across the wide rivers of the Columbia River into the forested southern part of Washington State. In the early hours, it stranded 153 hikers who huddled overnight and were escorted out the next day. One of those hikers told the courtroom of the fear they felt when supplies could not be dropped by helicopters because of the flames. When the fire was finally considered contained in November, remember it started when? September 2nd. 2 months later, November, it had burned up 121.4 miles of National Forest trails. Popular trails such as Eagle Creek will not open anytime soon, or maybe not at all. Lynn Burnett, Forest Service Manager for the area, said fighting the fire cost at least $18 million. She said it will take another several million dollars to repair the damage. What happened from one bad decision in this teenager's life changed his life forever. He was just trying to have fun. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody. He wasn't trying to hurt anything. You know, we can look at this teenager and consider him to be very foolish. Here he is. He's just trying to have fun. His friends are going to video him. It's going to be cool. Maybe stick it up on YouTube. A cool video or whatever he was trying to make. He had no idea of the consequences of his choice. However, don't we often do the same thing? How is it that every time we gossip, say things that aren't true about other people, we are being just as foolish as this boy, if not more foolish? Because every time we gossip, we are starting a fire that we cannot control. Every time we gossip, we are starting a fire that we cannot control. Turn to James 3, James chapter 3. We'll look at just a few verses here. This is a familiar passage. And this morning, you know, as a preacher, I always am looking for good illustrations that make the point, illustrate the truth that we find in God's Word and captivate the audience. Well, I can't claim credit for this illustration this morning, though I did look up the specific story, because it's actually the Word of God here in James chapter 3 that illustrate gossip as a fire. And we're going to see that in verses 5 and 6. So James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, follow along as I read. James 3, verse 5 says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So was the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just ask now, would you help us, even here this morning, to understand or what gossip is, the power that we have through just our words. Lord, I pray this morning, would you show us areas in our life where we may be giving into this pattern of gossip or listening to gossip. Lord, show us if this is a problem in our lives, I pray. And Lord, would you show us the victory that we can have with our words and how we can use them to bless others and not curse them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the tongue, it's a little member. It's tiny. In fact, in the same passage, another illustration used is that of a rudder on a ship. When you look at the size of the ship and the size of the rudder is a very small part. You think of those huge aircraft carriers that literally house a city on them. Though, yes, it's only 5,000 people, a small city, you could say. But think of all the different things happening in these huge jets that take off of these ships. And yet, to steer the ship, it still uses a rudder. And that rudder would be huge if we saw it here today. But that rudder, compared to this massive ship, is so small, yet it determines its direction. And our tongue, when you look at it, physical size of your tongue compared to your body, it's not very large. It's a very small part. Compared to all of you, it would probably be less than 1%, right, of your weight, of your body size. It's not very large. But your tongue is one of the most powerful members of your body because of what it can do, what it can say, the power of words. And to think that our words can start something that goes beyond our control, that's a scary thing. To think that our words can start, as the Bible pictures, a fire that we cannot control. And you know, every time that we use our tongue in a negative way to hurt others, to say things about others that are twisted or not fully true, we're taking them out of context, for whatever reason, we are using our tongue to start a fire that we cannot control. And the sad thing about gossip is not only is it out of our control, it also can never fully be erased. The hurt that happens because of gossip can never fully be erased. You may have heard of this illustration before, but there was a lady once. She was attending church, church service, and her pastor that morning preached on gossip and its power to hurt and to destroy others. And she knew she had this problem. She was, in fact, known really in the town as one of the town gossips, always going around saying different things, spreading different secrets. All right. She went up to the pastor afterwards and said, "You know, Pastor, you may already be aware, but this is a major problem that I have, and I see the problem today. I see how terrible a thing this is. And would you help me? What can I do to take back all the evil words that I've said to try to restore the many people that I've hurt?" Well, she was waiting for the pastor to, you know, give her some sound advice. And he said, "Okay, I want you to go home, get a basket, fill that basket with goose feathers, meet me up at a certain hill near the town, a hill that kind of overlooked the town." Well, that's kind of strange. Actually, no, he didn't say that. He just said, "Come back to the church." That's what it was. So she went home. It's a strange thing. But okay, that's what the preacher said to do. So she gets a basket, fills it with some goose feathers. Apparently, she had access to those very easily, whether she owned the goose or not, I don't know. But she gets this basket full of goose feathers, goes back to the church. From there, then, the pastor takes her up to this hill overlooking the town. And of course, you can imagine up on that hill, there would have been more of a breeze, the wind coming over, going down to the town. He said, "Okay, I want you to take this basket and throw the feathers up into the wind and watch them go." Of course, as she does that, and as the feathers go up, immediately the wind takes them and carries them all down the hill and all through the town. Not very long it takes, of course, as the wind's moving, those feathers floating, very light. Well, they watch them go for a minute or two, and then the preacher turns to this lady and says, "Okay, now I want you to go collect every one of those feathers and put them back into this basket." Well, of course, her immediate response is, "What? That's impossible. I can never find all of these feathers. In fact, most of them are probably gone. I'll never see them again." The preacher said, "Yes, and that's exactly my point. The words that you have said, the negative words, the gossip that you have spread, you will never be able to take back. You never will know how far those words will go. And because of that, you'll never be able to fully erase the damage that you have done through your unkind and untrue words." And that's the sad thing about gossip, is that every time we say something negative, not only are we starting something bigger than we can imagine, something out of our control, but we never know how far it's going to go. And we never can fully erase the negative words that we say. It's a very sad thing. And we can look, probably all of you can think of examples right now. even where others have said unkind words to you. And you know that other person has no clue how deep that hurt even in your own heart. You may not want to admit it to anybody, or especially to them, but you know inside how that hurt. Other person has no clue. But then you can think of words probably that you have said that are gone. They're past your control. So gossip's a terrible thing. Not only can gossip not be controlled, it also destroys relationships. Point number one, gossip cannot be controlled. Now number two, we see that gossip destroys relationships. Gossip destroys relationships. What are some relationships that gossip can destroy? I want you to think with me this morning. What are some relationships that gossip can destroy? Some relationships that gossip can destroy. Yes. Absolutely. A friendship. I've seen this happen several times. Likely not a lot, but I have seen it happen several times where two people were the best of friends and got along well together, helped each other, served each other. And then something came up, something got twisted, some misunderstanding came in. And words began to be said by other people. I saw these two friends drift far apart. And the fact is, even if there was a problem that was being talked about, it was taken way out of control, way out of context. That's what gossip always does. It's never fully true. Most of gossip actually is a lie, or at least deceptive in nature, though it may be using something that actually did happen. It's deceptive in how it's twisting that event. Or the words of somebody else. And I've seen great friendships be ripped apart. And it's a really sad thing. It's a really sad thing. And that may never be restored. Those hurts may be carried for the rest of a life. Good. Friends, absolutely. What other relationship can gossip destroy? Yes. Siblings, absolutely. Especially as you get older. You know, in the home right now, you're kind of stuck with each other. You got to stay with each other. But as you grow up, some of you are getting near the stage and you begin to, you know, take different paths and, you know, as you go head into your life. And in those hurts that are still there as they grow, and gossip can perpetuate those things that aren't true between different family members or even other close family friends. And they can cause rifts between brothers and sisters or sisters or brothers, siblings, that will last the rest of your life. And right now it's like no big deal. I'm with them every day. I can get it right tomorrow. But you don't know that. You don't know that. And it may cause a hurt. There's a sibling, a brother, a sister who's supposed to be closest to you. And for the rest of your life, you may struggle with that just because of something that was said. So absolutely, gossip can destroy sibling relationships, brothers or sisters. What else?
Jobs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Between coworkers or a boss and his employees, absolutely. I've seen that happen as well. Something said that wasn't true and it gets spread around the company really fast and so-and-so's on the out. They'll leave or they'll get fired, right? Or it can happen towards a boss too. Absolutely. And those things you may not have had the opportunity to experience yet, but I'm sure you will hear of it or see it happening in your life as you get older. But those things happen all the time. People get hurt from that. Deep hurts, actually. Yeah. What else? Ryan?
Parents.
Towards their children? You're referring to that relationship? Parents towards their children? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. When things begin to be said that aren't true about parents, and vice versa, that can get ripped apart and others start to spread these things. Did you hear what so-and-so? That's why, by the way, you should never talk disrespectfully or negatively about your parents or about anyone else's parents, making fun of other friends' parents. All right? You should never do that. I always hated to hear that when I was in high school. I never talked disrespectfully about my parents. Why would you even want to do that? Because that actually makes you look bad too. I don't know. But apparently some people do, and they're insecurity, they do that. But still, even talking about other parents, I remember one time I said something, I didn't mean it totally bad, but, I remember this. I think I made a slight comment, kind of making fun of a kid's backpack that his parents had bought for him. And I think it was in eighth grade or something like that. And I wasn't like super whatever. I was just kind of, it was more of a funny remark than anything else, but it was a negative comment towards this individual's backpack, and his parents had just bought this for them. And actually, his parents came and talked to me and said, I heard you making fun of them, my kid's backpack. You know, I bought that for him, and now he's mad at me. And it was good for me. I was like, wow, I realized from that one comment that I just kind of meant to be funny, but definitely was negative and putting someone down that here could cause a problem between this kid and his parents. Like, whoa, I don't want to do that. But it's really easy without even meaning to, by just saying a negative thing, making light of it. Absolutely. It's really good. Any other relationship? Yes. Yeah, that's a big one. Maybe all of you have seen this happen, I don't know. But it's huge. Between the body of Christ, it is very easy to see lies, rumors get spread, whether it's about pastor or deacons, others in authority, or just other church members. We're all one body. We're called the unity, right? Several times throughout the New Testament, especially Paul, talks about the importance of unity in a local church. And gossip tears down that unity. It destroys the oneness that God has as a church, as a body of Christ. And people can get very bitter, can get very upset. Of course, leave a church, but even more than that, spreading more lies and hatred. And it's very sad to see what that will do. And today with social media and other, you know, the internet, other platforms, it's very easy to spread things that aren't true. And to even take events that maybe happened in some way and to twist them to make them mean your own point that's negative. That is completely untrue. The point may be completely untrue, but you may take real events to do that. People do that all the time. Again, gossip is often based on something that did happen, but it's twisting it, taking it out of context, adding something or taking away a key part that makes that event or those words that a person said mean something completely different, and then to act like that's what they were trying to do and take it and run with it even further, making more assumptions off of that. That's often how gossip works, and people do that all the time within the context of a local church. And it's sad to see the body of Christ be ripped apart and to be hurt by each other, the very people that are supposed to lift them up and to encourage each other in the midst of this evil world. And Satan loves getting in and destroying the church through gossip, negative and hurtful words. Absolutely. Any other relationships? This is good. Yes. So between different families within a church, or just even, I guess you could have families who know each other, neighbors, I suppose. You could say neighbors as well. One I was thinking of is husband and wife. Husband and wife, and I'm sure there are many people who are divorced today whose relationship in a major way was hurt by gossip. Not even just their own, but the gossip of other people. Accusations that come in, right? And to remember that is huge. Accusations, all right? When a serious thing comes up, be careful with what you're saying, because you may start a hurt that could eventually even lead to ripping apart one of the closest unions, closest relationships that God has created, and that's marriage. But many marriages have been hurt or completely severed through divorce by gossip, these negative and hurtful words. So gossip destroys relationships. All right. And then finally, our last point, gossip is an abomination to God. Gossip is an abomination to God. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him. And the last two, even though the second one talks about speaking lies, the last two specifically, verse 19 of Proverbs chapter 6 says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. It's interesting that these two are put together, because gossip always involves lies. Gossip is not just repeating something. It's always twisting it, making it sound bigger than it was, worse than it was. Even if you're repeating word for word what they say, you are putting it in some light that is making it worse. All right? And God absolutely hates that. It's an abomination to him. It's an abomination to him. Gossip is full of lies, things that are not true. And if you listen to gossip, you are listening to lies. Because you didn't see it happen. You don't know. You are listening to lies. Who would want to listen to a lie? In most contexts, you would not want to listen to a lie. Why would you want to know something that's not true? You know, there's certain things we expect to be true, right? Of course, we expect the Word of God to be true. We expect our teachers to be telling us the truth, right? Your textbooks to be telling you the truth. The news, even though we've become to trust the news less these days. But you want to know the truth. You don't like it when someone lies to you and tells you something that's not true. You hate that. But every time you listen to gossip, that's what you're doing. You're listening to something that's full of lies. Gossip is full of lies. Again, even if it's repeating exactly what happened, it's putting it in a negative light. It's taking it out of context. And it's using it to make assumptions that are lies, that are not fully true. Gossip never does good for anyone. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And when we are saying unkind things, when we're saying hurtful things, is it ministering grace? What's the purpose of our communication? No corrupt communication, but that which is ministers grace to the hearers. You know, why do we say gossip? Why do people gossip? Well, it's always in some way to protect ourselves. It's to make us somehow look better than this other person. It really comes from our own heart of insecurity. And instead of trusting the Lord, of letting him have it, not worrying about it, and loving that person and praying for them, even if they did something or said something that we didn't like or irritated us or hurt us even, we use our words to put that person down in front of other people. Maybe not in front of that person. Usually gossip's not done in front of the person it's about. It can be, but usually not. Usually behind their back. But we put these people down to make us look better. It's extremely selfish. Extremely selfish thing to do. We only are caring about ourselves. We don't care about that person. Even when you frame it, well, pray with me about this thing. No. No. It's extremely hurtful. We do this a lot. Sometimes it's easy to try to put it in a good context. And instead, we're hurting other people. All right? We know the real reason behind it is our selfishness. We're not really burdened. If we did, we'd pray for them ourselves. We'd have God's heart for them. We'd be broken for them first. In fact, we'd be willing to go even talk to them about it rather than talking to other people who have no business hearing or knowing, who are not part of the problem or solution. Gossip not only hurts other people, it also destroys the soul of those that do it. Proverbs 21:23 tells us, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." That word "keep" is to guard, to protect. You guard and protect your mouth and your tongue, you are guarding and protecting your soul from trouble. Your own soul from trouble. You see, every time you talk about others in a negative or disrespectful or untrue way, you are not just doing damage to them, you are doing damage to your very own soul. But you protect your mouth, you protect your tongue, you're also protecting your own soul. So I want to end. We have these 3 points. Gossip cannot be controlled. Gossip destroys relationships. Gossip is an abomination to God. We see the cause of gossip is our own selfishness. But victory over gossip is possible. How is this possible? Well, first, you need to get your focus on God. Remember, we said the root of gossip is our own selfishness. It's a focus on ourselves, our own pride. But instead, we need to get our focus on God. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in whose sight? In thy sight. Do you care that the words that you say, that the thoughts that you think on are acceptable before God? If you want victory over gossip, you're going to need to get your focus off yourself and get your focus on God. Say, "God, I want my words I want my thoughts to be pleasing to you. That's who I want to please. I'm not here to try to impress others, to try to make myself look good. I'm here to please you. Get your focus off yourself and get your focus on God. Notice it puts thoughts and words together. Gossip never just starts with words. It starts with our thoughts. And we need victory in our own life is going to come by putting our focus, number one, on God. God, would you control my thoughts? Would you control my words? All right? So get your focus on God. And then as you focus on Him, let God control your mouth. Psalms 141, verse 3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." A watch, a guard. And then keep, again, idea of guard the door of my lips. So it's like, here's your lips. They're the doors to your mouth. And you're saying, God, would you stand there as the guard? Only let come out what's supposed to come out. Right? Nothing else. Imagine if you could have someone, a guard, who could stand there and decide everything that was going to come out of your mouth. Every word you were going to say. Imagine if that someone could be perfect and they were God. Because God is the only one who is perfect. Who could stand there and only allow what He wanted to come out as the guard of those doors. The doors of your mouth. I love the picture there. And that's what David was praying. That's what David was praying. Lord, would you be the guard to the doors of my mouth? Not allow anything to come out that you don't want to come out. So let God control your mouth. But even deeper than that, even deeper than that, get your focus on God, let God control your mouth. But even deeper than that, let God control your heart. Matthew 12, 34, Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus knew the source of the words that we say is what's inside of our heart. The fact is, Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know your own heart. But there is one who does. The next verse, verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." And God is the one. He knows what's in your heart. So why don't you let God keep your heart, right? Why don't you let God protect your heart? Then when someone does say something that's hurtful or does do something that's misunderstanding and you don't, they don't get what I was trying to say or what I was trying to do, or it just irritated me. You give it to God and let Him protect you. Then you don't have to even worry about what others think. You don't have to get caught up in this self-focus and this hurt. You could say, give it to God and allow His love to fill your heart, to know that He loves you perfectly. No matter what others do around you, you don't need to be hurt by them. You don't need to be irritated or frustrated. And you don't need to put others down and make yourself look good, because God loves you. And as you allow God to control your heart, His joy and peace will fill you. So some specific application here. Never listen to gossip. We talked about, of course, not speaking anything that's not true, but never listen to it. By listening, you are partaking. You're allowing those same lies to come into your thoughts. Remember, where does gossip start? It starts with the thoughts. You're allowing those thoughts to come into your mind, things that are not true, and it doesn't hurt. It doesn't help. It always will hurt you. Though you may never repeat it, it will still hurt you. And the fact is, if it came into your mind, it's got a good chance of coming out some way. Maybe not in the same way that you heard it, maybe more protected way, but it will still be there, and it will always hurt. You don't even know how much it will be there. It'll be there more than you realize. It'll affect your actions towards that person more than you realize. You don't even realize it. All right? So never listen to gossip in any way. If you're not part of the problem or solution, you shouldn't listen to it at all. Never speak about others something negative that you heard from a third party, from someone else. Never. So don't repeat. If you heard something negative that you didn't see, that you didn't hear, then you shouldn't be going on and saying it to someone, unless it's a specific authority in that person's life and you're bringing them to concern. But to tell other people is not right. And then finally, never speak negative things to a third party who is not part of the problem or it doesn't have the authority to solve the problem. And this is where, you know, talking to authorities in one sense who is over this one may not be. Talking to the right authority is important, by the way. You can actually talk to the wrong authority. All right, talk to authority who has the influence in this person's life. but never speak things to someone else about someone else. All right? So gossip's uncontrollable. It will destroy relationships. It's abomination to God. And God wants us to have victory. But even deeper than what gossip is, God wants us to know his presence, to know his control, his peace, and his joy inside of our hearts, so that we don't have to be focused on ourselves, but we can be focused on him. And that selfish, proud root, trying to put others down to make us look good or to make us feel good, God wants to go even there and give us his love, so that we don't have to even be tempted to think negative, to think hurtful thoughts about others, and then to say those things. So in conclusion, this isn't the main point of my workshop, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. That here we have talked about the power of negative words, right? We see how uncontrollable the damage can be. But I also want to just mention the power of words for good. The Bible tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. And just as powerful as the negative damaging side of hurtful words can be, we can have that same power to build up others, to encourage them, and to not change their life in the negative way, but to change their life in the positive way. God wants to use some of you here today and these next few weeks. Instead of hurting each other and tearing each other down, God wants to use you to build each other up. And you don't know how far your words will go. You don't know what those encouraging words, those loving and kind and gentle words will do for someone. It may change their life. It may, through them, affect more people than you could ever imagine. Because words are powerful. So let's ask God, instead of using our words to do something that's going to destroy someone, it's going to go beyond our control, how about let's ask God, by his grace, to fill us with words of love, words of kindness, words of gentleness that will build someone up, encourage them, and even change their life forever.